And our member wanted some amendments to the standard contract that was going to protect him better. It was a badly written deal. It had been faxed back and forth a few times. We couldn't read it, and it was just, it was miserable. So we plowed through those first things. We contacted the mortgage company. We got something in writing saying, yes, they'd let the mortgage be assumed. Took over the property. We changed the contract a little bit, and we started going. And the next thing our member said to me is, I see that the lender is represented by XYZ law firm. I've dealt with that law firm, and they're just not on the game. They're just not on the game, so Barry, you watch out for that. Okay, I'll watch out for that. And we started again. And everything that could go wrong went wrong. There was no information on the tenants that the seller was able to give to her lawyer with respect to their rents, security deposits, the fact that the seller was paying some utilities for some but not for others, cable. There were lines apparently running all into the house. It was a big mess. Some tenants had given notice and then not moved. And when I would call the seller's lawyer to talk about these things, for instance, we need, this is me talking to them, we need some credits for rent and security deposits for these particular tenants. Response, Mr. McGuire, your client has been in control of that property since October. Our client is not getting any rent, and there are no security deposits, and we have no idea what you're talking about for utilities. Back to my client. Okay, Barry, fine. He sends me copies of his emails where he's back and forth with the seller saying, you know, dear Maisie, I've deposited the checks again this month in your account, so-and-so. Hope everything is okay with you. So I get the paper trail from my client that shows and proves that all the rents have been paid exactly per the agreement, but the law firm knows nothing about it. And we're trying to get all this adjusted in the closing documents. No real property report, even though this deal had been going on for 3 months. It showed up on closing day, and there were encroachment issues. Our member is really going nuts because he's afraid the seller is going to yank this thing out from under him because she's exhibiting signs of mania. So we filed a purchaser's caveat saying that our client has an interest in the property because our client has a real estate purchase contract. It's an interest in a piece of property for which you can file a caveat. What else did we do? We got title insurance because the real property report showed encroachment and permit issues. Oh, yes, there was a covered deck that didn't have permits. Throughout the closing, we changed the date 3 times. As we get closer to the closing date, the maniac seller is beating up our client to close. And I'm going, but they haven't done what they're supposed to do. Yes, but I might lose the deal. Well, yes, you might. But anyway, we negotiated a $5,000 holdback for the outstanding issues. And just on the very last day, my client calls me and says they didn't make the January 1st payment like they're supposed to. So it was a 3-month process with lots of back and forth and lots of hassle. But in the end, the property was bought for $250,000 and it's worth $315,000. Bought for $250,000, worth $315,000. So is it worth it pounding your way through a 10-item list of crap from a crazy seller? Yes, it's worth it. You have to spend more time. You have to spend, you know, a little bit more money. The legal bill was higher, obviously. But it was a great property and going up like a rocket. So, if it was easy, folks, everybody would do it. That's where the hidden gems are when you find that kind of property. Next. Home inspection. Home inspection. This is a classic tale where our member is looking to buy a house, gets a good what he thinks is a good solid inspection company to do the inspection, and closes on the deal. And I think it was just after closing, the furnace poops out. He calls repair people. The repair people come along, two of them, and say, the heat exchanger is rusted through and you need a new furnace. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I have never, ever in any of my properties had any furnace problems except rusted heat exchangers. It's the classic what goes wrong somehow. Yeah, I've had some other little tiny ones. But anyway, huge money to do these. A 4,000 plus estimate from one repair person. So our member is upset. He's upset. He said, you know, I spent the money on getting a house inspection. What is the point of getting the house inspection if your inspector doesn't find and deal with these things? So I said, you better read your contract. Home inspectors are organized like other professional groups. They have contracts that have been looked over. They have a good, tight contract generally. And that was the response back from our member that, yes, the home inspection contract did not say that the inspector was going to tear apart that furnace and look at the heat exchanger. It wasn't going to do that. So our member is going nuts. He's going to move in. Actually, I think he was moving into the house himself. He's got the floor refinishers in there. There's no heat, so I'm sure that they're, A, freezing, and they're verifying to redo the floors isn't drying, and they're mad at him. Finally, he gets a hold of the home inspector who did the original inspection. The home inspector says, no, it wasn't part of my job to check that heat exchanger, but this doesn't sound right. That's the classic issue and problem. You need to get somebody else to look at it. And so the home inspector recommended a third furnace repair outfit who came along and said, boy, that pilot light is really dirty. Man, that's a dirty pilot light. We're going to clean that right up for you. And they cleaned a couple of other things. And magically, the furnace is working and there's nothing wrong with the heat exchanger. Nothing wrong with the heat exchanger. So now our member is a bit chagrined because he was teeing off on his home inspector, who he thought, you know, did a bad job and treated him poorly. Now what he understands is that when you go to get repairs done, everybody is not as honest as the day is long, folks. They're not. So number one, you got to make sure that your repair people are honest folks who are going to give you the straight goods. Number two, you have to understand what your home inspection is actually doing for you. And so, I mean, I would think if that's what this home inspector's contract said, maybe that is a standard part of their contract, that they don't dig right into the furnace and look at the heat exchanger. So maybe you need to get a furnace repair person. Maybe the gas company comes and does that for you. But get better info on your furnace when you do inspections. And those, folks, are tonight's Tales from the Trenches.